John chapter 15, and want to highlight the words of verse 11. As we continue our study in the fruit of the Spirit, as it is revealed and demonstrated in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come now to the second segment of that fruit, namely joy. And here in John 15, in verse 11, we have the Lord Jesus speaking about his joy. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Happiness, our joy, is what all mankind want to obtain. The desire of it is deeply planted in the human heart. All men naturally dislike pain and sorrow and discomfort. All men naturally like ease and comfort and gladness. All men naturally hunger and thirst after happiness and joy. That hunger for joy and happiness was very evident in the life of Solomon. But Solomon made the mistake. He made the mistake at a time when he had got away from the Lord and really was backslidden in heart. Nevertheless, he still sought after that joy. But he sought for joy and happiness in the wrong things. In carnal things, in earthly things. Turn please to Ecclesiastes. And there in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we find there how Solomon sought for happiness and joy in temporal things. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to now. I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. So he sought joy and happiness in pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. You go down the chapter to verse 9. In fact, you could look there at verses 4, 5, and 6. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens, orchards, planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. You go down to verse 9. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. In verse 10. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. Anything, Solomon was saying, anything I could find, anything that I could see that would bring me joy, then that's what I went after. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. He looks upon all that he had done. For a while he rejoiced in all his work and all his possessions. But then he looked across everything that he had accomplished. And look at verse 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Solomon discovered that he could not gather the fruit of joy from his pleasures, from his possessions, from his position as king, or even from his prosperity. Instead, he said, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. He looked for joy in these things. And what did he find instead? Vexation of spirit. Paul informs us that the fruit of the Spirit is joy. So the man who is in possession of the Spirit, not so much in possession of earthly things, but is in possession of the Spirit of God, or is possessed by the Spirit of God, that man will then know true happiness and joy. This means that the Christian who has received the Spirit through the new birth will experience then this fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. But in no one is the fruit of the Spirit more evident than in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was seen in his earthly life and ministry. Do we ever think of the Lord Jesus as being a joyous person? I want us to consider that today. I want us to consider the Lord Jesus and the joyfulness of Christ. People have said, well, we never read of the Lord Jesus laughing. But laughter is not always the sign of joy and happiness. Proverbs 14 verse 13 says, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. So someone can laugh and yet at the same time have a sorrowful heart. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we will see this morning, the Lord Jesus is a joyful person. There is happiness in his heart. He knows what it is to possess this fruit of the Spirit. He has the love of the Spirit, and we'll see this morning, he has the joy of the Spirit. The joyfulness of Christ. And as we consider the joyfulness of Christ, I want us to look first of all at the joy of Christ and where it originated. The Lord Jesus, when addressing his disciples, said to them, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, there's a joyfulness, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That's our text there in verse 11 of John 15. This joy which the Savior called my joy, it's the joy of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. So here is Christ and the joy of the Spirit. The three persons of the Blessed Trinity, of course, are in perfect harmony one with the other. So the joy of the Spirit is the joy of the Son and the joy of the Father. And if anyone knows anything about the fruit of the Spirit, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Luke 3 and verse 22, regarding the baptism of the Savior, we read the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. So the Lord Jesus has the Spirit upon him. And soon after that we read Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Mark the words. He was full of the Holy Ghost and he was led by the Spirit. And after his temptation in the wilderness, we read, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. But that's not all. For when he began his public ministry in the synagogue of Nazareth, you recall he read from Isaiah 61. And he began the reading with the words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." So he had a wonderfully joyous disposition that would have been seen in him because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And remember, joy is the fruit of the Spirit. And Christ was filled with the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. He preached in the power of the Spirit. He had the Spirit of God resting upon him. And the fullness of the Holy Spirit means the fullness of joy. You see, anyone who has the fullness of the Spirit, that person's joy is full as well, because joy is the fruit of the Spirit. You recall in Acts 13, in verse 52, these words, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." And so you see that joy is synonymous with being full of the Holy Ghost. If you find a Christian who's full of the Holy Ghost, you will find a Christian who's full of joy. And so we look to the Lord Jesus Christ and we see a man, we see the God-man full of the Holy Ghost. Preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit, had the Holy Spirit resting upon him, then Christ must have been full of joy. Because it's the fruit of the Spirit. And the Lord Jesus indeed was a joyous person. He was a joyous person. He was a joyous, joyful worker. He was a joyful preacher. He was a joyful teacher. For he could say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and joy is the fruit of the Spirit." We think of the Lord Jesus and his joy. He labored in the joy of the Spirit. And he had the joy of the satisfied. The man of the world will only be happy and joyous when he finds that which satisfies him. The little infant looks happy when it is clothed and fed and well, resting in its mother's arms. That child, that infant, is happy. Why? Because the child is satisfied. It's well fed, well clothed, and there it is resting in its mother's arms. It's joyful because it's satisfied. And man seeks for something that will satisfy him. He says he longs for something that will satisfy because he knows that if he finds that which satisfies him, then that will bring him joy. He'll be a happy person. But we know that for the worldly man, the ungodly man, his search will be in vain because there is nothing in this world that really satisfies. He will always be engaged in that search He will never find that which will fully satisfy him and again fill his heart with joy. Oh, there'll be the pleasures of sin for a season, but it doesn't last. That's what Solomon found out. Solomon thought that joy would be found in his pleasures of this world. He thought that joy could be found in his possessions and being prosperous and even in his position as king. But at the last he had to admit all his vanity and vexation of spirit. Instead of finding joy, he found vexation. He was vexed. He found the very opposite. There was an emptiness there. He was vexed in his own heart. But Christ, greater than Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ does not need to look for anything outside of himself to satisfy him and to bring him joy. He is God. And he has a divine nature. And his joy then is a divine joy. Man is lacking that which is able to give him joy. That's why he's on that vain search for something to satisfy. But the Lord Jesus does not need to search for anything to satisfy him outside of himself. He doesn't need to look for anything outside of himself to bring him joy and happiness. He is God. God is happy within himself. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. And he doesn't lack anything. He doesn't need anything to make him happy. He already is happy because he is God. Because of his divine nature. Turn to Mark 14. There in Mark 14, the joy of the Lord was seen. Even by the ungodly, in very trying circumstances, still the joy of the Lord shone through. Mark chapter 14. And we read there, the high priest, verse 60. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in clouds of heaven." Now isn't it interesting that as the high priest looked upon the Lord Jesus, he was being accused of all kinds of things, and yet Christ stood there and said nothing. And the high priest then challenges the Lord again and asked him and said, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Now we know what the word blessed means. The word blessed means happy or happiness. And here we're speaking about God. And here he's speaking about the God who is joyous. The Son of the Blessed. Jesus Christ is the Son of the Blessed or the Joyous God. Christ is the Son of the Blessed. I use these verses to show that Christ has joy in and of himself because, as we said, the word blessed means happy. Read that again in Romans 1:25, and again in Romans 9 and verse 5. And the same word is used of Christ himself. And here then is the joyfulness of Christ, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Christ is the Son of the Blessed. He's the Son of the joyous God. And Christ is God, and Christ is joyous. He doesn't need to go any outside of himself to seek something to satisfy him, to give him joy. He already has joy in and of himself. He's the joyous Savior. He's the joy of the satisfied. He's the joy of the Spirit. And then you see also in Christ the joy of the serene. No matter where his ministry took him, no matter what company he was in, there was joy in the heart of Christ. Maybe we never thought of the Lord in this way. Always having joy in his heart. We've just looked there at Mark 14, verses 61 and 62, and the high priest said to him, "Art thou the Son of the Blessed?" What did the high priest see in the Lord that made him challenge the Savior with those words, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Could it be that the high priest saw a joyous serenity in Christ? He was being tried. He was being accused of blasphemy. False accusations were being brought against him. And yet in the midst of it all, the high priest said, "Art thou the Son of the Blessed?" Did the high priest see something in the Lord Jesus Christ that day that made him or challenge the Lord and say, "Art thou the Son of the Blessed, the Son of the joyous and happy God?" It's really what it means. If, as Paul said, he is Christ, who is over all, God blessed forever. What do you think of that? He is God, referring to the Lord Jesus. He is God blessed forever. God joyous forever. He's the blessed God. He's the joyous one. Isn't it a strange thing? These religious painters, and the way they depict the Lord Jesus Christ, you ever notice they always depict him with a sad face, a sad countenance, a sad, dejected look? Have you ever had the chance of seeing any one of these paintings with the Lord with a smile on his face? I haven't ever. Not that I've much interest in those sort of paintings. I don't believe anyone can depict the Son of God, or God the Son can paint God. But whenever you do look upon those paintings, you never see the Lord smiling. Why is that? Well, we've just read that he is God blessed forever. He has a joyous spirit. He's filled with the Spirit, and he bears and demonstrates and shows all the marks of the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy. We have a joyous Savior. Yes, I know he's called described by Isaiah as a man of sorrows. But he still has the joy of the Spirit in his heart. Christ is a joyous person. He's always joyous. Even in his sorrows. Because he's filled with the Spirit. So if the joy of Christ, where it originated, then with the joy of Christ demonstrated, we know that the dear Savior would have displayed this joy, this fruit of the Spirit, in all circumstances and in every situation he found himself in. But let us choose just a few incidents from the Lord's ministry to illustrate the point. How the Lord Jesus had the joy of the Spirit in his heart, and how he demonstrated that joy even under the most trying circumstances. First of all, we see the joy of the Lord in his sufferings. It's almost a contradiction, isn't it? Christ being joyous, even in his sufferings. We may wonder how it is possible to have joy, even during a time of suffering. Well, maybe it could be considered impossible for man, but certainly not for the God-man, the one who is blessed forever. Indeed, Paul tells us about the Savior and his joy in his sufferings. Do you turn, please, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. There we read in verse 2. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now we're talking about Christ's sufferings. And yet we read who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The dear Lord Jesus, our blessed, lovely Savior, endured the cross, and he did it with joy. That word, endured. Word endured means to abide under. It means to bear up courageously. To hold up courageously. Oh, what a wonderful word that is. What a wonderful description of Christ. There's the dear Savior hanging on the cross, suffering for you and me, believer. And he's bearing up. And he's bearing up courageously. And he does it with joy. He bears up courageously with joy. He with joy readily abode under the great weight and load of our sin and the great pain and suffering which came with that awful load. He endured the cross with joy. It's the fruit of the Spirit, as seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see his joy in his suffering. You see his joy in our salvation. His joy is demonstrated in our salvation. The Lord Jesus, you recall, told that story or that parable about the shepherd having lost one of his sheep. And he left the 90 and the 9 and went in search of that one lost sheep. And when he found that lost sheep, you recall, he put it upon his shoulders. What does it say? It says he returned home rejoicing. Now the shepherd he was speaking about was, of course, himself. He's the chief shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And the great shepherd came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He came into the world to seek his lost sheep. And every time he finds one of his lost sheep, he rejoices. He rejoices. The fruit of the Spirit is demonstrated in Christ. Every time one of his lost sheep is found. Turn to Luke chapter 10. And here it is aptly demonstrated for us. In Luke chapter 10. And verse 20. The 70 disciples have been sent out and they've returned. And they're rejoicing that even the demons and the devils are subject unto them. And they come and they tell the Lord. And we read then in verse 20 of Luke 10, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Don't rejoice that the devils are under your feet. Don't rejoice in that, the Lord says, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven, telling his disciples to rejoice. Just ordinary common men who became the Lord's followers and his disciples. Now look at the next verse. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said. Why was he rejoicing at this particular time? In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. In other words, the truth had been revealed to the ordinary man, to those who were the Lord's disciples. And it had been hidden from those old hypocritical Pharisees and Sadducees. And the Lord rejoiced in the salvation of those whom he described here as babes. Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes, unto the ignorant. And here's Christ, and he's rejoicing in the salvation of the ignorant or those whom he described as babes. See that word, rejoice? You know, it's interesting. Three times we read about Christ weeping. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus. He wept over Jerusalem. And Hebrews 5 tells us that he wept in Gethsemane. Three times you read of Christ weeping. Only once you read of Christ rejoicing. And here it is. The one time that it describes the Lord Jesus as rejoicing is that time when he's praying about and talking about souls being saved. The lost sheep being rescued and brought home. Christ rejoices in the salvation of his sheep. In fact, that word rejoice, the word rejoice there means to leap much for joy. The way someone would leap up and down with joy. That's what the word means. That's how full of joy the Lord Jesus is when another sheep has been found. Another lost sheep has been brought home. See, the Lord Jesus identifies with those who are saved by his grace. He rejoices with them. You remember the man at the gate beautiful. And Peter and John go up to the temple at the hour of prayer. And the man lies at the gate beautiful and he's begging. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, the man at the gate beautiful was healed. He was saved. And how did he respond? And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And listen, the Lord Jesus identified with that man. As the man rejoiced, so Christ rejoiced. Whenever a soul is saved, Jesus Christ rejoices. With that joy that would cause an individual to leap up with much joy. This is the Savior we're talking about. Hebrews tells us that Isaiah tells us when he saw the travail of his soul, he was satisfied. Christ is satisfied. Remember what we said? The worldly man looks for something to satisfy him that he might have joy. Christ is satisfied. And Christ is a joyous Savior. He demonstrated his joy in his sufferings, in our salvation, and even in his sorrows. Such is the spirit of the earthly life and ministry of the Lord Jesus, that he produces the fruit of joy at all times, in all seasons. Consider that moment. Consider the moment when the Lord Jesus in John 11 informed his disciples about the man who was his friend, his companion, a man that he loved, Lazarus. Remember that moment that the Lord Jesus informed the disciples. He told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now there was great sorrow in that home. Mary couldn't stop weeping. She lost her brother. Martha was sad also. And later on, when the Jews congregated around Mary and Martha, they were all weeping. So it was a sad and sorrowful time. But the Lord Jesus said to the disciples plainly, Lazarus is dead. And then he said this, and I am glad. Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. For your sakes, that I was not there to to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go on to him. Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. That word glad is the word rejoice. Lazarus is dead, and I rejoice. It's a time of sorrow. It's a time of separation. But Christ is still rejoicing. There's the joyfulness of Christ. He was glad because Christ could see beyond the death of Lazarus and what he was going to do. And many would believe as a result of Lazarus' resurrection. But we can see here the joyfulness of Christ. In a time of sorrow, he still rejoices. What joy! What happiness this is! What a pleasant fruit this is! A fruit that Christ had and demonstrated in abundance. We have a joyous Savior. The fruit that was found in Christ at all times and all places and all circumstances, that fruit should be seen in us. We're supposed to be joyous believers. We're supposed to be joyous and joyful Christians. Let us show forth the joy of the Lord. Yea, the joy of the Spirit. The Lord Jesus was joyful, whether the day was cloudy or bright. What a wonderful, happy, joyous person the Savior is. So it's so good to be in this company. If you're in the company of someone who's always complaining and always down, why, they make you feel the way they are. They pull you down. But be in the company of someone who's joyful and happy and has the joy of the Lord in their hearts, they lift you up. That's why it's so good to be in the company of the Savior. He lifts us up. He is the joy of the Spirit. My joy. Talks about my joy here in our text. And then finally and briefly have the joy of Christ communicated. That's what he's saying there in our text. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. He communicates his joy. I already had the Spirit of God. And the Lord wanted to see the fruit of the Spirit produced in them. And the Lord Jesus makes it clear. Listen to this. The Lord makes it clear that he wants his people to be a joyful people. He wants his people to be a happy people. How? Do you know that he prays? The Lord Jesus prays that you and I will be joyful. He prays to that end. You just go over a couple of chapters. John 17. The high priestly prayer of Christ. Verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Fulfilled. Fulfilled means to make full. In other words, the Lord Jesus prays for his people that they might be full of the joy of the Lord. Have you ever met somebody who always seems to be full of the joy of the Lord? Whatever their circumstances, they're always full of the joy of the Lord. You say, how can that be? I'll tell you how. Because the Lord's praying that they'll be full of the joy of the Lord. That my joy might be fulfilled in them. And believer, Christ is praying for us that we might be full of his joy. He wants us to be a joyful people because he's praying to that end. And he brings joy to the believer by his presence. What did the angels sing when the Lord Jesus came into the world? I bring you glad tidings of great joy. Joy! Because Christ has come. I bring you glad tidings of great joy. And praise God, Christ brings joy wherever he goes. Praise his name. Remember what John the Baptist said. John the Baptist said in John chapter 3. Tells us what filled him with joy. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Verse 29 of John 3. But the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. I'm full of the joy of the Lord because I've heard the bridegroom's voice. I've heard Christ. I've seen him. I've been with him. In his presence. What is there in the Lord's presence? In his presence is fullness of joy. The right hand. Are his pleasures forevermore. And he brings his joy through his precepts. Not only his prayers and his presence, but his precepts. As we read there in our text, in John 15, the Lord said in verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Do we not have the joy of the Lord in our hearts when we hear the word? When we listen to God's word, does not bring joy to our hearts. See, the Lord wants his joy to remain in us. May we indeed pray that this fruit of the Spirit will be produced more and more in us. As we have seen it in Christ, may it be seen in us also. The Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. O Lord and gracious God, I thank thee for the joy of the Lord. Even as Nehemiah is able to say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. In times of great trial, and sorrow and suffering, still the Lord Jesus was joyful. O Lord, may we exhibit more of the joy of the Lord in our hearts. May it be seen in our countenance. If we have the joy of the Lord in our hearts, we have the joy of the Lord in our countenance. Lord bless, write the word upon our hearts today. May we go forth rejoicing in the Lord. Even as Paul has exhorted us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice.